ability to receive any news at all, you would see and know right now that there was an attempt of assassination on President Trump yesterday. And technology is such that you can see things in real time. Many years ago, John F. Kennedy was assassinated. The attempt on his life was successful, and it took his life. And I wasn't born yet. But if I would have been born, it would have taken me a while to get images of what happened. And yesterday, I actually was not feeling too great, and I had gone back to lay down on my bed, and Christine was in there, and she came out of our restroom into our bedroom, and she said, "John, just lay down a couple minutes." And I was like, "I don't want to." And then as I laid there for a second, I said, "I think I will." About 30 minutes, I said, "Don't let me go past 30 minutes. You ever take a nap and you're like, "Oh, I just messed the whole thing up." Well, if you haven't, you'll get to that age and it'll happen to you. So all you whippersnappers, God bless you. But certain things you hear, and as the man of the house, there's certain things you don't want to hear. And I heard he just got shot, and I jumped up and I'm listening. I don't hear anybody in the house screaming, but I hear my wife say it again. He got shot. I was gone. I ran into the living room, and I'm looking like this, and I see the screen, and they said it's President Trump. And you know, there was some confusion about exactly what happened, but it really looked like that's what took place. And then didn't take long, we figured that out, that it was reported how bad it was. And thankfully, in real time, within minutes, we found out that the attempt was not successful, thank God. Praise the Lord. And as one who shoots guns and understands guns and has a really good knowledge of that, I'm not a proclaimed marksman, but I can tell you that is not a distance that is hard to miss. And if you look at the profile on his head, I would not even say that the one doing the shooting missed. I would say that God stopped something from happening. And this has not got to do with a Democrat or Republican or Libertarian or anything thing. This has got to do with evil, and it's being perpetuated in our country. And we have gotten away from God to an extent that there are, I told somebody, I think it was this week, I'm sure it was Wednesday night as we gathered right there and prayed. It is amazing to me. In an election year, but it doesn't even have to be that now. The new thing, if someone with any authority at all has a microphone and they begin to speak, there's a panel of people that are fact-checking what the person is saying. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on. There's somebody fact-checking that thing because we have learned that we don't have to say the truth because the truth may not benefit us, but we can throw a lie out there, and once it's been heard, then we have a decision to make. And then we need somebody to judge that. Was it telling the truth? Were they telling a lie? Were they telling the truth? Were they telling a lie? And then we've got to go back and take the statement and measure it. Was it truth or was it lie? And it's on to the next statement and on to the next statement. And we find ourselves in a state of confusion, not even meaning to be. Actually, just the victim of someone's speech. And I say victim because if someone is lying to you and knowingly lying to you, you are being victimized. And I cannot stand court cases where you'll see a defense and a prosecution and a statement will be made and someone will say, objection, objection. Do you know that there's no limit on objections that you can give? So I'm just telling you with that, there is a strategy that can be employed to just say things. Now the judge that knows everybody that heard it, he will judge if it's acceptable or not. But he cannot stop that it went into the ear. So an effective strategy would just be spew the lies, spew the lies, spew the lies. Strike that comment. If I went to cursing y'all this morning, don't worry. I know that's a proper, y'all got so quiet. I know that's a hip thing for nowadays to preachers to be cursing, but this one ain't going to. Because I don't curse outside the pulpit. I'm not going to curse at the pulpit either. But if I went to spewing that on you guys, and my son-in-law got up in my defense and said, hey, y'all strike that. Strike that from the record. Can't nobody strike that. Because it's already gone out. That's why the Bible says our words, you can't get them back. They hit the target. So if it's an effective thing for me to throw something out there, not even worried about the defense saying, hey, no, you can't do that. I object. Well, I've already accomplished something now, haven't I? That's the system we live in. We talked weeks ago about how justice isn't justice if it does not serve everybody at the same rate, regardless of skin color, regardless of sex, male, female. Oh, and by the way, that's the only ones that there are. So you know. What would be wonderful is if we had this list of punishments on a book and we had this list of laws on our book. Oh, that's right. We already got that. But if we took the person that was found guilty and put them behind the curtain and never showed their face and said they did this, this, and this, and the evidence shows that they did, then okay, so that crime gets this punishment this many years and could even lead to death. That would be justice. It just would. We might readjust some rules and stuff like that, but that would be justice because at least it would be fair across the board. Then you could pull the curtain back and, okay, it was a rich old white man and it was a rich black man or it was a poor white man or it was a rich Hispanic man or it was a woman. And nobody would care because it wouldn't matter. But now it matters before we do any sentencing, if it ever even makes it into the courts, because everything's fair and everybody's treated equally, right? No. You don't have to go outside of the county you live in for that to be happening because it's everywhere. And there's no place that you can move that it's not going on. Corruption, because there's flesh involved in it, sinful flesh. And our only way out is to be under the blood of Jesus. But with that being under the blood of Jesus comes an incredible strength and authority that we have. And here's the strength of it. Thank God, none of it is based on my righteous works. None. I know y'all like me as your pastor and we get along, but thank God that none of it is based on my righteousness, or you wouldn't like me as much as you think you do. And because it's not based on your righteousness, I can love you as much as I think I do too. But the good thing about this and the power of this is that it's based on His righteousness, and He's spotless and there's nothing wrong with Him, and everything in Him is right and correct and in order, and we should be so grateful for that. And we should be ready to stand up and say yes to that. Our problem is in this country. I can't tell you the problems of Russia or Ukraine or Australia or China or any of them. I can't tell you their problem, but I've been living in this country 57 years, and about 50 of them, I've got an idea of what was going on. Seven, I was just terrorizing everything. It was all Batman and Robin and cops and robbers. So don't hold me to that. But about the last 50 years, I think I can make a judgment on what's been going on. And the church, I'm not talking about Christ's fellowship, but we're one of them. And I'm not talking about preachers in particular, but I'm one of them. And the church gets grouped, and preachers get grouped. But let me just make this statement to you. The problem I've seen in the church in America is comfort. Comfortable. He said, I will prepare a table in front of you, but He did not say a comfort table in front of you in the presence of your enemies. We have become comfortable. And I'm not talking about the comfort level. Good gracious. I grew up on wooden benches, and we got about 4 inches of pad between you and your posterior and that bone, and I don't know how much flesh you got that's helping you out or hurting you if you don't have enough, but it's comfortable as far as where your bottom's sitting right now. Now, the AC, I got good news for you. I'm talking about being the church being comfortable, and I'm going to tell you how we're going to get more comfortable. Okay? We're going to get more comfortable because about this time next week, we're going to have more air conditioning in here. That's getting fixed. That's going to get fixed, and I'll take down my silly note that I put on the door today. That was me that did that. But I'm the guy that's in here thinking, I got to preach under some lights. And it's going to be hotter than it's already at. So we're getting that fixed this week. Should be ready by next Sunday. I'm talking about not the air being conditioned and the seats being padded. I'm talking about the church being quiet, and all kind of hell is going on around us. And we're just quiet and... I'll tell you this, if a conduct grade were given out on just sitting there and being quiet, the church would win it. Participation award. One of the dumbest things I've ever heard of in my life. Because I want a reparation, and it should include a room full of first place trophies in my life. I played hard, and we didn't always win. Y'all stay with me, okay? Stay with me right here. I think you are this Sunday. I think we could have elephants marching around. So y'all be like. Stay. Lord, I thank you for who you are in our lives. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for awakening us. I thank you for moments in time that aren't like any other moments in time. I believe you showed us something yesterday about your power and what you say will happen and what you say won't happen. And if anything tries to happen that goes against what you're saying, God, you raise men up. You bring men down. That's your job. And what you do, your church is going to say yes to, Lord. Help me without prejudice preach your word, your agenda, what's going on in your church, because you are coming back for your bride, and that is supposed to be us. And we're not supposed to have our eye on any other one except you. You're a jealous God, and your eye is on your bride. In Jesus' name. The comfortable church has sat by a long time. Everybody hasn't been quiet. Some have even embarked on picking a word up and preaching it. That in no way means that you need to get comfortable. Because this is just the truth. And it's coming out of a mouth that is fleshly, that could very easily be using that truth for his benefit. We've seen it. It's called false prophets. It's called heresy. There's a lot of things you can attach. It's called lying. But I'm starting to say it's more than that. I'm calling it inspired. By the enemy, because this was inspired by God. Make no mistake about it. God moved on mere men through his Holy Spirit, and they spoke his word, and it was recorded. And I believe it. I believe that you believe it. But inside of it, so many secrets are opened up for us. And as we look back in time, we realize, as mankind, we're not very different now than we were from the beginning. And I gave you guys, I think one of the opening scriptures last week was the end of Judges. I'm sorry, the end of Judges, 21:25. In those days, there was no king, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In those days, there was no king. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's the most dangerous thing that there could be. And I told you, with 7 billion people on the earth, if 7 billion people are doing what is right in their own eyes, that is at the very least 7 billion contradictions that are going on. There's no way anything can be truth. And we've been taught lies. And our children are being taught lies, and they're being led down paths in schools. You better be very careful about what you're allowing your children to be exposed to. There are agendas, sneaking agendas, trying to fill your children's minds with things. There's been plenty of children that have gone off to college and come back a totally different mindset than the way that they left when they were here. That simply has to do with exposure and someone peeling back their mind and placing things in there for them to decide. And I can tell you where it came from. All the way back at the garden when the serpent deceived Eve, and his opening comment was this. Did God really say that? Is that what he really said? So when we start getting to philosophies, that is an affront and an assault against who God created you to be. We are designed to be under Him. And outside of that, we do not do very well. Does not take us long to depart from that and to turn our back on that and to go another way and think that we are right. That's deception. You'll never see a deceived person that's in question about the road that they're on. They think they're right. That's what deception is. Do you think he's right? Because you better be basing it on that. Because let me promise you, you ain't right, and I ain't right, but he's right. And there's only one right. And are you following him? Because there's people that, if you want to see the vessels in their head and their neck come out, say something against what they believe in. Because if they're convinced, it'll come out. What's in our heart comes out. That's God's rule. So, Pastor John, why are you not on Proverbs? Can you just back it off and let's go back to Proverbs? I told y'all last week, Proverbs, I've been spraying Proverbs like a bug spray all year long. And bug sprays makes you feel sticky and uncomfortable. Like, I almost wish I'd just let the bugs bite me. This stuff is so... But y'all been taking it. And I've sought God about Proverbs. And I got an answer this week about Proverbs because I've been preaching it every day. And we're at the point of Proverbs where it starts getting into a proverb and then another proverb and another proverb. And it's a thought and it's a thought and it's a thought. And I started saying, Lord, we're going to be in Proverbs forever and 2 days. And he released me and I'm going to show you a scripture that goes with it. Don't nobody clap. Please don't clap when I said that. I hope that was just something else following. 1 Kings 11:41. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did, now this is in Kings, and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the period that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. Then Solomon rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place. And let me tell you, so it says that it's recording the acts of Solomon right there in Kings. And it says, weren't all the acts of Solomon recorded in the books of Solomon? And then it goes on to Rehoboam. It says, didn't all he did, didn't everything that King Rehoboam did, was not it recorded in the Chronicles of the Kings? And then he goes on to Rehoboam and talks about Jeroboam. And says, didn't everything that Jeroboam did, didn't that get recorded too? And I was asking God, what about this? He released me right there because he brought those scriptures back to me and said, John, you've preached this all year long, and you've invited them all year to pick up one chapter a day. I don't want a show of hands, but I've been doing it, a chapter of Proverbs every day. It's easy. There's 31 of them. Y'all know the drill. If you've been in it, you've read Proverbs 7 times. 7 is a number of completion. 7 is a number of perfection. Matter of fact, 6 to 7 times, makes sense. If you want to start a new habit, you do it 6 to 7 times, and your habit will find you. So what I'm telling you is that it's in there. And the Lord said, I've got a lot to say to my people. And I struggled, and I listened, and I was like, I'm hearing nothing. I'm getting up early. And yesterday, everybody, I got family in here from Virginia, Juju and Christian back there. And I just, y'all got Jujus and stuff like that in your family too. Nonies and all kind of stuff like that. Y'all, bum bum. So don't be laughing. Bomb bomb or something like that. Come on now. How old are you when you figured that one out? Bomb bomb. We can do better. No, just kidding. It's my son-in-law. I always, you know, especially when Brent's not here, I'm coming to you. How did I get on that? But here's the thing. They were all going to go someplace yesterday. I really wanted to go with them, but I told Christina, I said, I feel like I need to stay here and study. I studied. I came to the church. I did some stuff here. Went back home, and I'm like, God, I ain't got nothing. So a lot of times when I ain't got nothing, I'll go lay down because I'm stressed. And then all that happened yesterday. My Lord. Thank you for clearing. Thank you for clearing at least my mind now. What are you going to say now? And he gave me these scriptures. 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 22 says this. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him. Sometimes he's got to appear at night so there are no distractions. They may have had some candles going on or something like that. But especially in those days. You know, when God gets you and you just know it's him. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. What if God said, I've chosen this place? What if God just said, I've chosen this place? When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, a mark of being his people is, are we humble? Has humility come to us? So back to the subject just a second. We've gotten comfortable. We've gotten comfortable to where many churches, denominations, however you split it up, I'm just going to try to say I'm in his kingdom. I'm not marked by anything. He's my king and I'm under him in his word. All of it, not skipping any pages, none of it, not adding to it, but his word. But we've been treated, if we'll just be quiet, they'll leave us alone. Can I tell you, that day's past. Ain't nobody going to be leaving the church alone. But why would that even be the subject matter? If you'll just stay quiet. Because in us is the ability to commune with God. And as his people, he not only hears us, he sees us. And he sees what's going on, and he knows what's going on. And we have the ability to commune with him, and we have this confidence as believers that if we ask anything in his name, he hears us. That is power. And there is a thirst and a blood lust for power, and those who have had it will not give it away. It will be taken from them, or they will remain in it until they die, if you haven't noticed. And there is an agenda to continue to shut our mouths, because our mouths have been shut. And we've taken topics. Now, I hate that we let somebody make us think that there are some sins that are bigger than others. I get some of that. But let me tell you what separates us from God. Sin. The category of sin separates us from God. And not just even acting sins. Not sins that I have done with my hands. Jesus said, there's sins you've thought of. And you ain't touched nobody, but I know that you thought of it. That should scare me. And I'm not talking about being afraid of God, but I'm talking about honoring him and revering him and respecting what he says. That's why we've got a God, by the way, a God that knows and I don't. It's what I need to come to grips with. But we've taken sins, certain sins, and because enough people have struggled with them that it has become a subject matter that now we'll look at that sin and, what do you think about this? You know, this is the news media coming into John Morgan now that I'm famous and pastor 50 people. So, Pastor John, Bishop John, I ain't had a church snort in a long time, and I just got it. I'll take that as a glorified amen, like a prophetic amen. An amen's going to follow that one. It needs to. Don't tease me and lead me on with that one. That was great. A snort came first. So, here we go. So, Bishop Morgan, my middle name starts with an M. So Bishop J.M. Morgan, I'm just trying to sound it as dignified as I can. Bishop Reverend Dr. J.M. Morgan, and I ain't doctor, but I want to sound like I'm somebody. Nobody goes to the grocery line with that. Well, what are you purchasing? I want some tomatoes, huh? And some lettuce, huh? And where do you keep the mayonnaise? I'm just saying, be who you are all the time. Be who you are all the time. So they come to Bishop Dr. Morgan, Reverend, sanctified, holified, everything. And they want to know what I think about this particular subject. What are you going to do if these people come into your church? And how are you going to treat these people? And my response becomes something like, well, my response is evolving on that. Every time I go to the beach or every time I go to the mountains, I look at my wife and I say, ain't evolution amazing? How can I evolve into something that God has already settled on? Or how can I evolve past what God has already settled on? I can disobey. I can step out of obedience. I got every bit of that right to do it. But I'll be here's the thing. You can do anything you want to do, but you cannot decide your consequences of what you did. You don't get to do that. But take any sin that somebody's struggling with and tell them, well, the church has decided that, God's a God of grace and we're just going to, we're going to help you embrace that while you figure it out. And just try not to go anywhere with that appetite, or try not to, as you embrace that pain that you're in, just don't ever act on it. And then God will bless you. And how cruel that would be. How cruel that would be to somebody if I didn't tell them there was a way of deliverance. I'm looking for somebody to pick on that's married. I got you before. And you handled it pretty good. So I'm back again. So what if somebody comes to me and says, Pastor John, I'm struggling because of that Deonya Kelly. Because she's so hot. And beautiful. And I'm attracted to her. And I love her. And something's telling me that she's going to be mine. And I tell him, look, listen to me. That's a married woman. I know that she loves her husband. And I know that man has got a very dark colored black belt in Taekwondo. And you better get some sense about you. You don't need me to pray. You need to quit before you are dead. But what if I just tell him this, though? Okay, yeah, I know you're struggling, brother. I know you're struggling. And I just get real soft for a soft answer. I know you're struggling. I know it's hard, and I know a lot of people are doing it. A lot of people, they're facing the same struggle. And the church is, I want you to know, you're not different. God sees you. He loves you. And if your face, if he had a refrigerator, your face would be posted on it. Because he just loves you. And I just go on down a line and I tell them, I understand that you've got a struggle going on. But we're going to embrace your struggle with you. But just don't act on it. So you fill in anything you want to right there. So if anything, if that's okay, anything's okay. But if that's wrong, the other things are wrong too. And I've made some statements along the way, so you know where I stand on this. And I'm trying purposefully not to give glory to something that's found its place in a church that has no business being in our church. And if you have a struggle in these areas, your struggle is not that thing. Your struggle is obedience unto God. And that's where your struggle ends. And I'm tired of trying, of listening to people cut your brain, and you got a good part going on this morning, and try to make you think what's going on inside of there. It's just a little issue, and you're different. And God, no! I got where I got in God simply because I obeyed him. And I'll obey him to the end. And when he called my daughter home at the end of 20 years of living a life of 6 open heart surgeries and struggle and operation and many operations, I didn't say, okay, this is it, God. If you don't do this, I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to preach your word anymore. If I'm going to do that, I've got to cut out the parts of the Bible that talk about what goes on past this, because this is not the end. And I don't get to take part I have no promise of my healthy children's future either. And God has never called me down to the card table and said, hey, John, let's make some deals. This is how it's going to look. And let's swap some things in and out with them. I've had to do this exchange where it's not my will, but it's his will. That's an exchange. Mine for his is better. Let me at least get through these scriptures. I've been doing, God forgive me, I've been doing more talking than anything. Chapter 7, verse 12, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. For now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my commandments and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, Then I will uproot them from my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by, it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done thus to the land? To this land and this house. Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God, their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them. Go to Jeremiah 29. That is simply talking about an if-then situation. And we just want to deal with the then, because God did this and this is set up for us. But there is an if that needs to take place, and that's our responsibility. Because we have gone out and we've sought out other gods. Because the truth is, if a court of law were set up and the question was posed, is he your God and no one else before him? And you said, yeah. And they say, bring in the evidence that proves it. And you start going, well, what did you do with your time? What did you do with your money? What did you do with your abilities? Oh, did you even, when's the last time you even talked to him? But he's your God. Jeremiah 29. Everybody wants this promise. 11 through 14. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You will not search for God half-heartedly and find him. God doesn't break his principles, and he tells no lies. Jeremiah 33, 1 through 3. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jerusalem the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, I'm in the wrong chapter. Y'all just got some free Bible reading. And let me tell you this, while I'm busting chops, statistically, I just read to you more than you've read for yourself this week. Not okay. Now, if he's going to be our God, we're going to serve him, and we're going to read his word, and he's going to know us and our name like we know him in his name. And our actions will mimic that we love him and that we trust him and that we're holding and clinging on to what thus saith the Lord. I'm just telling you, it's either true or it's not. I would apologize if an apology were in order. But that's what the world is saying about us. We all knew that statistic I just mentioned is true, and we don't say anything about it because we know it's true. We've given them every ammunition to keep us quiet. They won't say anything. They won't do anything. They'll just sit there and take it. Oh, they ain't going to do anything. All of them are lined up asking their pastor, will you tell me what you think my purpose in God is? I told you, your first calling this morning is not to be pastor or prophet or all these things or wear a robe with glitter on your back. Your first calling is to live right. Will anybody take that? I believe you will. I believe you're here because you're taking this serious, but it's high time to take it serious, and we're not going to look at anybody. I don't know you young ladies, but I'm so glad y'all are here this morning. I don't know you, but I've seen you before. I'm just calling you. I don't know you, but I'm glad you're here on down the line. I'm sure I'm missing some. We got visitors here tomorrow. I caught me. Think I heard a little whisper, help over there. Somebody said, tomorrow. I'm not just trying to line everybody up. I don't even know some of you. But how do you like being lumped into something? You came to church. Oh, you're a part of those Christian people. Oh, y'all believe that crazy stuff, don't you? Ain't nobody afraid to say that. Ain't nobody afraid to say that. Say it out loud. A crowd will get behind you. Woo, they told them. Bunch of high and mighties. But if we think somebody's powerful, we won't say anything to them. But if we don't know if they're powerful or not, we'll test it. That's what bullies do. But the power that's inside of you is greater than any power that's in the world. Because his word said it was. And it said, greater is he that is in me, in you, than he that is in the world. And when he comes into your life, you're the only one that can mess that up. So it's 33 where I meant to go. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time when he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Let me tell you what we need right now. We need him to show us great and mighty things that we do not know. I don't know it. That's what makes room for trust. That he does know it. But I can tell you this, and I've heard this since I was a little boy, and I remember my mom saying it, and I remember my dad preaching it, that the Lord certainly must be coming soon. And my mother, right now, who has dementia, one thing that always comes back to her. Am I telling it, Christine? So you tell them. What does my mom always say at the end of anything? I guarantee you she said it yesterday. But she says this.
The Lord is coming
back. The Lord is coming back. There's a place in the recesses of her mind that still get it. He's still coming back. I have not seen it, but I cannot believe that it would last much longer. And it's time for his church to be his church and to stand up and quit being quiet. And you don't have to know everything. Let me answer. The Bible says that his word will shut the mouth of people. But here's how we've taken a group of people that got up on the scene and they got up on the stage saying, tolerate us, you intolerant people. Just tolerate me. That same group of people is who they called you not to be, is who they are. The most intolerant group of people that there are. And that's where our world stage is at right now. You've got to make room for everything. But don't claim Jesus. There was some football player that made an incredible proclamation about women, their bodies, and the Word of God. And then some tennis players that said, we make room for everything except for that guy. And somebody else said, yeah, not him, not ever. Why? Because you've come and scrubbed up against that alive God. See, the dead ones are in agreeance. You can talk Allah, Buddha, on down the line. You can talk about them, and they're dead, and they're not coming back. But mention Jesus, who is alive. And you want to see that devil raise up? Mention Jesus. Mention Jesus Christ. But let me give you a defense. My defense is just this. I believe it. I believe the Word of God. I believe everything in it. You can believe anything that you want to. I believe this Word. I'll tolerate you believing anything you want to. Will you tolerate me? Hey, that just makes it fair. I'm not promise you that they can walk away. Oh, okay, gee whiz, we'll just be friends. No. You don't have to know everything about it to believe it and to stand on it. I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, there's plenty I don't understand. And I'm grateful for that, because if I understood every bit of it, there would be no need for trust. And I wouldn't need another God. I wouldn't need a God, period, because I would be equal to Him. Because I know what He knows. And that's the same deception that got Eve. You'd be like him. You'd be like him. It still works on men. Still works on them today. So I am comfortable knowing I won't ever know everything about him in this life. But it keeps me in perspective of who I am versus who he is. And I have a king, and I will bow to him. And if it costs me my life, and that's a whole other sermon, me being too attached to this world, not ready to go into what his will is and the world that is to come. It's huge. But I will follow him all the days of my life. I won't apologize for it. I'm not looking for a fight. I can tell you this. Whatever this battle is, it won't be fought on whether I can beat you up or not. So forget that noise. This is a spiritual thing. But in that, we as believers have already won. Will you stand to your feet this morning? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can you say that today? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that for some of you that don't know the realms of your family and where they're at, say it prophetically. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The line that's in the sand has been drawn. We're just now recognizing how serious God is. And we're either going to be on his side or we're going to be found on the wrong side. And there's room for deception among us who think that we're on his side, but our actions aren't proving it every day. Did it not say that many will say in that day, did we not do deeds in your name, God? Heal sick, raise dead, do mighty works, mighty miracles. Didn't we do that? And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. My wife taught me something in closing, because I was told I couldn't close. I can't even close in 30 minutes. I don't want y'all to stand too long. But my wife taught me something about discernment. It's better than any definition I've ever heard about it. Because when I was younger in the Lord, I felt like if God gave me something, I had to just blurt it out. I had to go fix it. I had to go address it. I had to go say something about it. And she said this about discernment. She said, discernment is not always a cause to action, but it is 100% of the time a call to prayer. I discern that evil is in this world and that it's going to start being exposed. And I'm asking God, not just expose the evil, expose the root of it. Expose it down to the root. And it's a cause. It's a call to prayer. What you may or may not know, we have a group that meets here on Wednesday nights. About a dozen of us sit right there, right here in a little circle right here. And we pray over your stuff. We pray over your needs. We bring needs that we know of. We pray over the church. And I told them this week, I said, this week, we've prayed about everybody. That's the same thing I said about our air conditioner. We've done a lot to help other ministries and stuff like that. It's okay to fix our air conditioner. We're going to fix our air conditioner. Everybody said amen. But it's also okay for our prayer team to pray for yourself. But you've been prayed over. And I blame a lot of the good that's happening in this building on the prayers that are going up. Because I can tell you, churches will get together and do stuff and do things, but have a prayer meeting and get ready to listen for the crickets because they're going to sing. I'm not trying to bust you up on that. But if you can, come to this prayer meeting. And let me just tell you something else. This prayer meeting is a private meeting. I've had to put that sign on the door. Enemy will try to show up. He's already tried to show up. If I don't know you, come back Sunday. I'll meet you then. But I've told nobody opens any doors on Wednesday nights. We lock these doors. We have safety measures in place. But that's how bad I think the enemy is. He wants to disturb our most intimate times with God. If I surveyed you right now, I believe you would tell me for your prayer time and for your devotion time in your home, you have to fight for that time, don't you? You probably don't have to fight to watch your TV show. Of course, you can record that. You don't have to fight for your podcast because you can listen to that anytime. But if you try to set aside some time to devote yourself to God, you will fight for that. Fight for it. Fight for it. Fight for that time with God. I invite you to come on Wednesday night. But if you can't have time, and that's not that I know these people, that's not the only time that we get along with God. And even much more as we see the day approaching, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This is precious time that we have to spend together as brothers and sisters in God, as fellow believers, encouraging each other, exhorting each other, believing that there's a benefit for us being together more than being apart. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your hand. Thank you for your protection on former President Donald Trump yesterday. What a mighty God we serve. Lord, this is a time when our country is already divided. That was proven yesterday. At a rate of hatred. We are divided at a rate of hate, and it's evident. And churches are divided at a rate of disobedience and a rate of indecision and by leadership sticking their finger that is wet up in the air and trying to figure out which way the climate is blowing. Lord, there's only one wind of testing, and it is the wind of your Spirit. And we must be in alignment with that, God. I pray that our church, that your church, never become divided. I pray that there are men and women who are listening to you, not just listening, obeying what you said. Because that is the difference that makes the difference. Hearing your word and then doing your word. Let us be those who does your word. Let us be those who depend on you for our moving and our living and our being, because in you we live and in you we move and in you we have our being. No other source but you. You're the one, and we love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, let your safety and protection be on all those that would serve you, God. Let us not be afraid, and let us not be silenced anymore. But let our voice be a beacon in this world that reflects you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you go this morning.